Good morning. A Tuesday morning, we're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. And as you do every single day, Alan, you get letters. And this morning, you've got one you want to share.
George wrote, David, and he said, isn't it time we had a constitutional amendment about the popular vote in the Electoral College? In other words, doing away with the Electoral College. The answer is a couple of things. Number one, do you really think that this president and the two houses of Congress are going to start pushing a constitutional amendment? That ain't going to happen. The people can do it. But just remember, this thing cuts both ways. There are times that the Electoral College will favor, you know, the Democrats. In this case, it didn't. And so you got to be careful about what you're for. On balance, I can say I certainly think we need a way of electing a president which is based on the popular rather than the electoral vote. I think it's way past that time. And I think George is right in asking his question. But I also think you got to be very careful when you get into something like this to make sure there aren't unintended consequences from the plan you come up with.
It also seems that the discrepancy between the Electoral College and the popular vote has President Trump upset.
Well, that's right. He tries to bluff it through. One of the things he's been suggesting for a long time now is that he won the popular vote. Well, that has been dismissed by virtually everyone. It's one of those Trumpian claims, which is propagandistic. You just say it again and again and again, and you hope that if you run it up the flagpole, somebody's going to salute. In fact, it turns out that this has been widely dismissed. So it's one of those things like Trump's insistence, birther insistence, that Obama wasn't born in this country, that you see dismissed. The idea that there was rampant popular vote irregularities, and that's why he really won, because there were so many people breaking the voting laws. That turns out to be a bunch of nonsense also, and has been so decried. So when you look at it all, you see that this guy has a technique. He says something, he puts it out there. He stays with it. If it doesn't work, he goes away and tries something else.
President Donald Trump signed an order restricting entry into the U.S., the so-called revised travel ban by people from six predominantly Muslim countries, reviving a signature initiative that stalled in the face of court challenges, sparked global protest, and prompted dissent by some of his advisors. Meanwhile, U.S. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer unleashed a tweet storm assailing Trump's revised travel ban, called it an mean-spirited act that won't make America safer.
Look, David, what's going on here is they're trying it again. The question is it anti-Muslim? The answer is, I think so. I think that's the way that it was framed in the first place. You can't say, okay, because they made some legalistic changes, that the impetus for doing this has changed. The court ruled against it before. Now they've said, okay, if you have a green card, you can come into the country. If you have other bona fides, you could come into the country. Now, if the court wants to be totally legalistic about it, they say, okay. But if the court takes a larger look at it and says, no, you guys are trying to do the same thing and this is un-American, then the court ends up saying no again. I'm convinced, Trump is convinced, that people in this country don't want Muslims here, and that if he keeps on pushing this, he's going to be rewarded. And it is really the kind of thing that we have seen around the world, where they're not me, therefore they're no good, it happens. But this is a country of immigrants, and we all know it. Whether or not we can extrapolate that understanding that our parents and their parents came from different places and say, okay, so why would we shut off that flow right now? Is it just because they're Muslims? To me, this is something that the American people have to grapple with, and I hope they come out on the right side.
President Donald Trump has labeled the press the enemy of the people. Meanwhile, his press secretary, Sean Spicer, using a strategy of avoidance. Monday was the seventh straight day, says Politico, that Mr. Spicer declined to hold a televised White House press briefing, an unusually long drought for someone whose role is traditionally to be the most visible face of the presidential administration.
Look, they've gotten murdered. Saturday Night Live has been hysterical when it comes to Spicer. He's a source of ridicule, and so every time you see him, you think of Saturday Night Live now. The fact is that it doesn't work for them. And so when it doesn't work, you say, okay, let's try something else. Let's try not having these briefings. But the more that you tick off the press, the harder they're going to work. Our Rosemary Arbeo has said over and over again, we should go to these things because you're not going to really learn an awful lot. I've always felt, yeah, you should, because if they say something and it's met with derision, that's part of the public process. And you can tell that because they're having so few of them. They'll trot them out when they think they've got a good one. But until then, they're not going to do that.